Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Harbor of Joy. It's good to see you all. Let's stand and worship together this morning.
And you may be seated. Welcome to Harbor of Joy this morning. A few announcements just to let you know what's happening this coming week. There's some changes I see. I'll get to those real shortly here, but on Tuesday from 12:30 to 2 o'clock is Grief Share. Do you know how many people came last Tuesday? Uno. There might be two. We never know. But anyway, just want you to know, it just, even if, what do you want to say to that, Richard? Could you talk, to the people down in, is it Des Moines?
Wherever one or two are gathered, we can all end up worshiping in God. But, and it doesn't matter about the numbers, we still end up having time to share and listen to everybody. So whether it's one person or whether it's a group of people, we are still welcome and free to share. So all of your thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Richard. You took the words right out of my mouth.
When I looked in there, that's what I read.
It looks good. I really appreciate that because it comes right out of the horse's mouth. You're not a horse, but you get to hear how he feels about the whole thing. He's not disappointed that there was just one that showed up. And there might be others that come along during the way, and sometimes it can be too fresh for anyone to even talk about grief or who are going through grief. It's one of those kinds of things. But that's from 12:30 to 2 o'clock on Tuesday. And then also at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, it is taking a ride on the Queen Mary 2. No, the Titanic. I mean, it's tea on the Titanic. We hope that everyone will be safe after you have tea on the Titanic. This Tuesday, it's starting at 1 o'clock. And you can sign up. We hope you will sign up. There is an RSVP back in the fellowship hall. Just ask somebody, where can I sign up or where the clipboards are at where I can put my name on it if I have not done so already. That is this Tuesday from 1 till 3, I believe it is. And it's $10 per person, just to let you know that there's a cost to that, covering the goodies and all those kinds of things that take place here. Wednesday, that's a change here. Let's, our friend Ron Knutson, who was looking, well, I couldn't be here either. But Ron says he can't be here because of a prior commitment Wednesday night to talk about the honor flight that he went on to Washington, D.C. I have never talked to someone or heard from anyone that's gone on that, other than short little clips you may see on the news on TV. But in person, I go like, I'll get up, I'll talk to you later with that on that. But he's not going to be able to be here, but Ron did say that Dean Ramsey is in charge on Wednesday night, and he always has something to say. So we don't know what's going to happen or who, what will take place, but Dean will be here, and there'll still be, you know, food provided as far as the grillers will have hamburgers and hot dogs. What better thing to have in July? Hamburgers and hot dogs. If you want to come to it, bring a side dish that goes along with that, or a dessert would be wonderful as well. Do want to let you know that Jerry Ostrom, he's got double pneumonia, but he's out of the hospital. He's back home. And to make you aware of that, Jim Craninger, he is in Sioux Falls recovering at, you see the address where he's at in Sioux Falls. You want to write him a little note, or you want to send him a card, there's an address that will get to him. LeBone and Melissa and their whole family, I'm not even going to try your last name, but they're going to be leaving us. She'll be here for the last time on August 10th. It's Sunday, August 10th. So I just wanted you to know that from her. And there still will be like a little cake and things like that afterwards if you want to stay or give him a little card or a little encouragement along the way. We just thank you so much for getting together with the group and providing the music from Sunday to Sunday as to all of you as well. She couldn't do what she does if it wasn't for you as well. So thank you for doing that. And then Shirley Berry, some of you know who she is. She's in the Esterville Good Samaritan Center with a fractured ankle. And that's some of the people to keep in mind. But there's one guy in this church who always is behind the scenes, and he never wants any attention, and he's here almost every Sunday behind the camera back there. Steve Letcher, he never wants to be mentioned, but Steve, you know, we've been looking at those puddles outside for many years, and he has done something about them. He put in a French drain. You know what a French drain is? He drills a hole and fills it back in, and it makes it look really nice. And he's going to do some more out there because he's noticing after it rains where the puddles are, and he says, I need to get rid of some of these other puddles that are out there. One by the blessing box is another one. So, and it's good to see Steve and Anna Moore here today. Finally, we get to see you, Anna. And we're glad that you're here this morning as well. Just want to remind you that Vacation Bible School is coming up. We are going to have that. I don't know where the word got out that we're not going to have VBS. I did not say that last week. I said we got to have volunteers in order to have it. It's one of those things we don't know. The kids that come But we have to have volunteers and teachers and those kinds of things. And so I'm just going to say that if we didn't have those today, we probably can't say we're going to have Vacation Bible School. But as far as I know, we have volunteers, we have teachers lined up. I asked Amy, I said, are we good to go? And she says, all good to go. So it's going to be Vacation Bible School coming up in a couple of weeks, just to keep that in mind. And I just want you to know that Kerrville, remember that name of that town? Never knew that town before. Just the flooding, the flash flood that took place there. Found out that there's an LCMC church in Kerrville. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Called Zion Lutheran. If you want to give a donation or something, if you don't know where to give or what you can do, the best thing at this point in time is just a monetary gift to either give to Zion Lutheran in Kerrville, or you can give it to the LCMC district office, or the district, which is in Hondo, Texas. And there's other organizations. No matter what you watch on TV, there's always give here and give there. And there's plenty of places. There's Samaritan's Purse. There's Salvation Army. But there's a number of organizations that are out there willing to receive anything that that you can give at this point in time. It's a tragedy that I can't imagine what it would be like to be sleeping and to be woken up with noises, especially at a camp with kids, and even if you got adults who are counselors, and the people who live along the Guadalupe River have no idea what that may be like, but we hear about it all the time. And so we're going to just pray for them here today, because my heart was warmed to be able to see the amount of traffic. It was not just people coming to see what was happening, what was going on. It was people coming from all over the area who wanted to help physically. If it was to walk, if it was to do something, and there were so many of them, they had to turn them away. And that's a good thing to see, that people wanted to help. And they just said, let us get organized. It's just too soon to know how to use people and where to use them and things like that. There's a lot of churches being involved in that area as well, that are doing a lot of different things, but they have to get organized too. You can't just show up and expect them to say like, yeah, you can go here and you can go there. It takes time to put this all together. I've been through two floods in my lifetime. No one has ever drowned, but it's just a mess. The church I served, the Red Cross moved into our church because we're like a little island. We're up in the high, I don't know how it worked out, but we were higher with water all around. But that's where people had to come to get any kind of help from the Red Cross. And they were looking for a place. And this was in Breckenridge, Minnesota, way back in 1997. You never forget the year when that takes place. We lived in Dickinson. A big tornado came through the south part of Dickinson. We lived on the north side. This happened on the south side. On the north side, you couldn't even tell anything happened. Once you got over the hill and you saw the destruction, they had National Guard out directing people and keeping people out of there that didn't live there, I just go like, good grief. This is incredible. Can't believe it even happened here. I go like, it didn't feel right to live life normally on the north side. And you got destruction and people trying to get back in their homes on the south side. Didn't even know that the tornado had hit. Didn't even see it. So anyway, we're going to just, there's other things in the bulletin. Please read them. They're there for you. They're opportunities. I didn't mention everything in there, but we're grateful for a lot of the ways in which we can have opportunities to be able to serve the Lord together as well. Read them, please. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we know that you're still in control, even in times when there's tragedy and there's things that just make us shake our heads. And there's families, Lord, there's moms and dads. There's kids without sometimes moms and dads. And there's moms and dads without one of their kids or a couple of them or who knows how many. It's just a terrible, terrible thing that we would never comprehend even if we went down there to see the destruction. But it's just going to take a lot of time with all the mess of the trees and the branches and the things, the pieces of homes that are now just sitting still and idle, and they're still looking for people. And we know, Lord, that I don't think you're going to find anyone alive who's missing. And it just takes time to find them. And I just can't help but to think of the pastors in that area who rejoiced and probably even prayed for the kids and those that went to camp for that weekend. And now they're out there planning funerals or getting together with the families of trying to bring some closure to all that's taken place. And there's people just stunned. Can't believe this has happened. And Lord, there are things around here that happen to us as well, whereby we have no words. We just sometimes find ourselves just staring and just can't do anything. We're paralyzed. But the word of someone getting cancer, someone that you know that is gone. And just talk to them. Talk to him or her just a few weeks ago or maybe the day before. But Lord, you are with us in times like these. And I know sometimes that is not a comforting thing for some people, but Lord, it's a comfort to us who know you. Knowing that we have someone to hold on to and someone like you that holds harder on us. When we think we're holding tightly on your hand, you got us covered more than we realize. We just pray, Lord, that you be with those that are working diligently, the emergency people and the people that have come from many different places that do with the talents and the gifts that they've been trained to do into finding people. And sorting through all that has taken place down there in Texas. May you just do what only you can do, Lord, in this time, and may you use it in ways that also brings glory to your name, even though that is a difficult thing at this time to even think about, too. But it's nothing that surprises you, and it just shows that we live in a sin-stricken world. Things happen that we don't want to have happen. And therefore, we find our strength comes by looking to you in a faith that will not be shaken, because we know that your faithfulness is always good in times like these as well. May your faithfulness also be seen by others who have come and who are there each and every day. It brings a community together when there is a disaster. Doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what political person you're for or against. People come together and forget about all that stuff that separates. And they go like, what can I do to help you? Lord, we just pray that only you can provide the resources and provide for what is needed during times like these. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here today. And we know that there's also issues here with people, things that are going on in their lives that we don't know anything about, but you do, Lord. And we just pray that you would show yourself and give yourself and do things that people would come to realize that it's you. It's nothing about me or ourselves, but it's all about you, Lord, because you're alive. And you love us and you care about us each and every day. So bless this time as we worship you together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 41. Remember, this was done earlier this week, but it really fits into what has taken place for watching the current events. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. Even my close friend who I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Play the song, Holy Spirit.
Oh,
Thank you, praise band. Thanks for being so patient as well. You never know how long the announcements will be. I know it. You can have a seat if you'd like, or you can stay up here and hang out together. The responsive reading today is about God's mercy. We can say his faithfulness. Great song. Love and his mercy towards us and for us. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. They are more precious than gold. Than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Special music today is Barbara Jo Rolfe and Julie Jones on the piano. Blessings on you.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm singing my favorite song, Jesus Loves Me. And I know all of you love that song, too. And I just want to tell you a little bit of story about it. Two women, sisters, Susan and Anna Warner, it was after the Civil War, and they had some financial issues, and they started to write books and stories. And they wrote a book and it was a book, a Sunday school book, but it was written for a little boy who was going to pass away. And these are the first couple of verses. Then later on, after their passing, William Bradbury, he was a famous songwriter. He wrote many, many, many songs like Words, My Lord, The Lord, some songs that are like Savior, let our, I'm trying to think of the same song, sorry. But anyway, he wanted to write another verse for In Jesus Loves Me. He actually wrote the refrain In Jesus Loves Me. So all these verses are really interesting. John Kennedy, when he was struck by a Japanese boat, his U-boat was cut in half. He was actually found by some natives, and the natives had been trained and learned the word of the Lord by these missionaries, and they started to sing Jesus Loves Me. So they all sang Jesus Loves Me. What a peaceful, wonderful thing for them that were rescued and the ones that rescued them. So I just wanted you to know a little bit about the story.
Me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yeah. Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Barbara Jo. Thank you so much to there, Julie. We can never hear that too many times. Jesus loves me. We're going to hear another story here today, not by Barbara Jo or through the praise band, the songs we've sung today, but we're going to hear a story that Jesus tells to an expert in the law. Please stand as we hear the scripture in which this comes from. It comes from Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter how many times we may have heard this parable or heard this reading from your word, known better as the Good Samaritan, may we find that it has something to say to everyone that is here today, even my own heart as well. Thank you for your precious word and what it's able to do when we allow it to come into our lives, and we ask you, Lord, to make it come alive, to make it come real. Help me to put into practice what we see, what you said to this expert in the law and to his question today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone loves a story, right? Are you ready for a story? Jesus was the master storyteller. They're known as parables. But he was very good at bringing up a story that fits into what is going on in the lives of those who are around him or who are in front of him. Luke reminds us about an expert in the law who asked Jesus a question. But there's something in there that, I don't know if I even mentioned it in this one, but it's in the other writers. They talk about this guy asked Jesus a question with an ulterior motive. He's there to test him in this question. I don't know what's behind his asking the question, but there's something about it that he wants to trick Jesus or have Jesus say something about eternal life that he can get into a theological debate on something. I have no idea. But his ulterior motive is to test Jesus. And so the question that he asked Jesus is this: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now remember, he's an expert. Expert in the law. Which means he knows everything. He's really good at knowing his Bible, the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. We sometimes refer to them as the Pentateuch in confirmation, written by Moses. And Jesus answers him back with 2 questions. He says to this expert in the law, well, what is written in the law? Now, he's an expert, so he should already know what's in the law, right? And then he says, how do you read it? And for the expert in the law, this is an easy-peasy question. Because what comes to his mind right away, because he's an expert, would be Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's kind of what it says there in Deuteronomy 6, 5. He then would go on to Leviticus 19, 18. And this is what it says in Leviticus. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So that's what he would know about himself as an expert in the law. No problem with that. Jesus answers back to this guy, correct. You answered rightly. And you can see this guy, expert in the law, going, yes, I got that one right. I'm on to this. I'm going to get this guy now. And then Jesus says to him, then do this. And you'll live. This guy knows he can't live perfectly by the law. Maybe he thinks he can. I don't know. But he'll soon find out he can't live perfectly what the law says. The law is not made that way. The law is to tell us that we need a Savior. It's by faith that we come and receive salvation. It's not by what must I do. We're all doers. We like doing something. But God says, I've done it all for you. And that's the gospel. Done. One word. Done. Jesus did it all for us. It's to come and to believe and to trust in him. So in other words, when this expert in the law answers the question of Jesus, he's just answered his own question on how to have eternal life. He knows what it is, but we don't know his motive behind asking this question. That's the kind of the barb in this whole thing. He's got an ulterior motive here. So this is when Jesus comes up with a good story, because we find that the expert of the law wanted to say something to justify himself. And so he just asked a simple question, well, and who is my neighbor? I mean, how can you be an expert in the law and not know who your neighbor is? Why would he have to have Jesus explain to him, who is my neighbor? We all know who our neighbor is, don't we? And the answer is, everyone. Everyone's our neighbor. Everybody's our neighbor. We often think of it, well, it's the person that lives next door to me. It's the person who lives across the street. It's somebody that lives down the road that I know, they're my neighbor. In God's eyes, everybody is our neighbor. Everyone. The person sitting behind you, in front of you, next to you, is your neighbor, even though you may not know much about that person. But they're your neighbor. Everyone's our neighbor. So Jesus then comes up with this parable, his story about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is to answer this expert in the law's question. What must I do to have eternal life? Hear that? He would be a lot like today is an attorney or a lawyer asking that question. And so a man is going from Jerusalem. So to have a guy going from Jerusalem to Jericho automatically makes the guy who's going from Jerusalem to Jericho who? Or what? He's a Jew. Go from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's a real windy road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's known for being, where for a person to be attacked or to be bushwhacked or to be taken by surprise and robbed. It's known for that. You wouldn't want to be on this road by yourself to begin with, because you know it has its thing about what it's like to be traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho in the first place. You wouldn't want to be on that road. You'd want to go around if you could. But this guy was by himself. He's a Jew, comes from Jerusalem, going to Jericho. Robbers jump him. They strip him of his clothes. They beat him up. They left him half dead on the road. So how would you like to be on that road, naked as a jaybird, beaten up, and half dead? Laying on the road. A priest comes by. Oh, good, a priest comes. He's going to do something here. He wouldn't just not see me, would he? But the priest comes, walking down the same road. This guy is beaten up, laying there. And he sees a naked man who's unconscious, and he's bloodied. What does the priest do? Just walks on by. Kind of goes around him a little bit. Doesn't do anything for this guy. Just as if he didn't even see him. But he did. It says here he saw him laying there. There's no way he could not see him there. So he goes on by, and then comes a Levite. Now, a Levite is like being an associate pastor. They're involved with the worship of what goes on in the temple, making sure everything is orderly and things go the way they're supposed to go. A Levite is a very religious person. The priest would also be, but the priest would be higher than a Levite in that day. And so the Levite comes, he sees the same guy lying on the road, and what does he do? He passes by him on the other side. So you have two religious guys who you think would help this man. They just walked right on by, and in the parable that Jesus says, who's the next guy that enters into the story? Jesus could have picked anybody, but who does he pick? A Samaritan. That's a fighting word, a Samaritan. For some of you here, it'd be like, it was a Democrat. It was a Republican. It was an independent. Jesus says a Samaritan. How did the Jews and the Samaritans like each other? They didn't. They didn't. And Jesus puts in there, but a Samaritan came by. Can you imagine what the expert in the law, how he reacted to that? It probably made the hair on the back of his head stand up. How could he say a Samaritan would stop when two good Jewish guys, a priest and a Levite, went on before? But a Samaritan came along on the same road. He saw the same guy as the priest and as a Levite did. But there was something different in the Samaritan. He saw a naked body. He saw a guy unconscious. He saw a guy that had been beaten up, lying there. And what did he do? He took pity on this guy. He went, oh, look at this guy. I wonder if I can help him. I don't have a first aid kit, but I sure got some wine as a disinfectant. I got some honey that can be something to soothe the wounds that this guy is suffering with. And he says, oh, I'll put him on my donkey. So he'd have to pick up this guy. You know, is somebody who is just kind of half dead easy to pick up? I don't care who you are. It's tough stuff. So this Samaritan had to be kind of buff, kind of strong. He picks up the half-dead guy, Jew, on the road, puts him on his own donkey, and then he takes him to an inn where there was somebody there who owned the inn. And he took care of this man. He stayed with him. He was beaten up. He was half-dead. He's a stranger to him. He doesn't know this guy from Adam. Doesn't know who he is. And the next day, he asked the innkeeper to look after his friend. that he'd spent the night with and did as much as he could with him. But he says, I'll be back. And when I come back, I'll pay whatever you need, whatever you have done or spent on this guy. I will reimburse you. And he gave him 2 silver coins before he left as a way of saying, like, I'll be back and see how this guy is doing. And so after, that's the end of the story, the parable. And then Jesus asked this expert of the law, now tell me, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to this beaten up man? And the expert of the law replies, duh. No, he didn't say duh. But he goes, well, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus tells him, go and do likewise. I mean, it's not a difficult story, is it, to know the answer to the question? Which of the three did the right thing? Easy. It was a Samaritan. How many of you have had a good Samaritan in your life somewhere along the way? Look at that. We call them good Samaritans. It is people who did something that didn't know you, they wanted to help you. I've got a few stories. Which one do you want to hear? A, B, or C? The most recent is we lost our air conditioner last month when it was the hottest and the most humid. Did you know we lost our air conditioner? Some of you probably did. We didn't talk about it much. So we went over 10 days without any air conditioning. And a man did come on July 3rd and put in a brand new air conditioner. I don't know anything about air conditioning. I didn't know it had to be hooked up to your furnace. And you have to have a coil, an air coil or something to put in your furnace because that's how you get the cooling effect throughout your house. I didn't know anything about that. I just figured you have to just replace the old one and you're good to go. But no, we had to go down to our basement too and hook this all up. And I go, it was hotter than blazes on July 3rd. You'd go outside, you wouldn't have to do anything, you'd just sweat. It was that humid. And this guy was going to go and see his daughter the next day on the July 4th down in Boone, Iowa. But guess what? He had to come back early because he got other calls that people's air conditioning was out. But he promised us that he said, you'll have cold air before I leave today. And we did. And I said, I'll never take air conditioning for granted again. It's a great thing to have. It's not a luxury anymore. It is a necessity at my age. We just kind of really like air conditioning. When you lose it, it's like, oh, it's not any fun. But we know that the expert of the law replies to Jesus, the one who had mercy on him, and Jesus' last words in the parable is, go and do likewise. Out of all who could have helped, it was the one person you would never would have picked to help, especially when you said a Samaritan. Here's the application. What you are determines what you see. Think on that a little bit. What you are determines what you see. If you are a Christian, you will see things from a different perspective. You'll have a different perspective on different things than someone who is not a Christian. And what you see then determines what you will do. What you see will determine then what you will do. The Samaritan saw something that the other two guys didn't. Even though they saw the same guy in the same condition. But who he was determined what he did for this guy. You can be religious and intentionally go around the real needs that are in front of you. We can all do that. I do that. And later on think about it and go like, boy, I sure messed that up. I could have helped that guy. Could have helped that woman. God knows what your motivation is. Is it really what is the best? What God wants? Or is it about yourself? What you want? If the Good Samaritan was looking out for just himself, what would he have done? He would have did the same thing the other two did in front of him. He would have left the guy laying there and just kept on going like he didn't see him. But he had. God knew he saw him. God knew. And God also gave to him what was needed and what he could do with what he had. You see how you treat people is very important. It's not what you know. It's what you do. You can have all kinds of head knowledge about the Bible, about church. But if you don't have it in your heart, and you don't think about other people and how you treat them, you've got problems. There's been many, many things in my life I never wanted to do. But I knew that God would want me to do this. If I listened to myself, I'd have lost out on a lot of things because there was blessings in doing the things he didn't want to do when he did it for him. When I hear somebody's got cancer and is dying in the church, I know you probably say like, well, the pastor will go and see that person or whatever. We'll pray for him. And you do, and I'm thankful for that. But do you think it's something in me that I really want to do? To go and be with that person and pray with that person when they're dying? When they're friends of mine, probably from this church? If I had it my way, guess what I'd do? I'd be like the priest and like the Levite. I'd go home and just let them be, and wait for the call. Hey, did you know that so-and-so died? Ugh. You know what that means? Got to call somebody. We got a funeral. Got to get somebody for music. Got all kinds of things like that. Who you are will determine what you do. I take that very seriously. If I say I love Jesus, I will do what Jesus wants me to do. Like it or not, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I fail. Here is a parable that we see three people who saw the same guy in need. Two walked around the needs that presented themselves there. And only one met the need that was there, that others walked around. And he was a Samaritan. So can you pretend that you do not see a need? Because we all do that, don't we? We pretend we don't see it. If somebody brings it up to us, no, you got it all wrong. Okay, What would Jesus do? Jesus would do what the Good Samaritan did. He took the time, even though it was inconvenient. He still would have helped the guy in any way that he could. That is the application for us in what we see in the parable here. People will not care how much we know until they know how much we care. That's a heavy weight. A long time ago in my ministry, I had to deal with Sunday morning preaching. I'm not the greatest preacher. It takes a lot of work to get a sermon together. I wish I didn't have to even do it, to be honest. But I said to myself, I don't know if it was myself or if it was the Lord speaking to me, Tim, your sermons don't mean anything to me. But may the people know that you care about them and that you love them. That's what's important. And I have to go like, yeah, you're right. I don't care what happens on Sunday morning preaching. But do you know that I care about you and that I love you? It's not always the easiest thing to do. But I want you to know I do. So which of the three people in the parable are you? Are you like the priest? Are you like the Levite? Or are you the Samaritan? Which one? Where are you at today? Did Jesus have to go to the cross and die in your place? The answer is no, but he did. He was like the Good Samaritan. If he wouldn't have done it, we would still be lost in our sin. If we'd ever want to have our sins forgiven, we look to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we deserve nothing from you in our lives. It's all a gift, and I'm thankful for that. I know there's many here who are thankful for that too. But Lord, may we be like the Samaritan. Tough to do. But yet we don't rely on our own strength. We rely on you. Because you are faithful in all things. We even sing about it like we did today. Great is thy faithfulness. It's just a lot of times, Lord, we get in your way. You want to be faithful, but we stop it because we want to take control. Or we want to be in control. May you always have access to show who you are. And may we get into the back seat of the car and let you drive. And may we not be the back seat driver. But we trust you because you are faithful. Every day and every time. The prayer that you taught your disciples goes like this. We say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand. Sorry, the announcements were too long today. We're going over time today. Sorry about that. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. Remember, it says, it starts out with what? I. We're not talking about these things right here. It's the I. It's what I really believe. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. Or are you supposed to sing first? Okay. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and sing? You may be seated, and then I'll come back with the benediction. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.